Hi there. Welcome to Intentional Living Center. Today, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. If you have children, adult sons or daughters, and they've gone through a break in their marriage, and you are the parents, and what do you do? How do you handle your grandchildren? How do you handle a relationship with your ex-daughter-in-law or son-in-law? How do you handle it when you know that your son or daughter maybe was, you know, primarily at fault or a big part of the problem? What have you learned to be intentional with your kids when their marriage has landed in divorce court? Welcome to Intentional Living Center today. And listen, I've talked to a lot of moms and dads whose young adult children have been married, and there's been a divorce, and there's been hurt, and you didn't expect it, and there's impact on your role now as a grandparent, and how do you handle and relate to the ex-daughter-in-law or son-in-law? Maybe how you even relate to your own kids as you look in. Maybe you see something going haywire in that marriage, and you don't know when to jump in, when to back off, what to do, how to handle it. We're going to share some things with you today, but I'd like to have those of you who've been through some of this, maybe you've learned some things you want to share with some others to be really very intentional in this process. Give me a call. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717 is the number. Now, if you've listened to me teach on this topic of in-laws, you know that I've tried to make the point over the years that our number one job is to be in support of our children or, you know, a brother or sister, whoever, in their relationship so they can be successful. In other words, our job is not to usurp their authority or to butt in or to take control or to say more than we should or do more than we should, but we hurt when those that we love hurt. And if you've had a son or daughter go through a divorce, you know how difficult that can be. And it could even be compounded if you went through the same thing with the feeling of, well, was it my fault? Was it guilt? Was it something I should have done and I didn't do in this process? One thing you've learned, one thing you'd share with others of the hundreds, thousands who are listening who have been going through this themselves. 888-888-1717 is the number. Love to have you come in and join us here at Intentional Living.
My name is Alexis. I am the daughter that is actually going through a divorce, and I have a mother who is very supportive of me. She doesn't support me, she's just supportive. She encourages me that everything will be okay. She doesn't try to fix my problem for me. As much as this does hurt, I think what might work is for the grandparents or for the parents of the children getting a divorce is, instead of trying to fix their problem, just encourage them.
Yeah, that's good. Loving on them. You know, you can't change people. You know, when it's yourself, that's one thing. When it's the people you love, that's quite another thing, isn't it? Today, when your child gets a divorce, how should you be intentional? What's one intentional thing that you've learned? Maybe you've been through this yourself. Maybe you were the son or daughter that went through that divorce, and your parents did one thing right or one thing that they could have done better. What is that one intentional thing? 888-888-1717 is the phone number. Love to have you join us. All right, let's go to Felicia, who's on the line. Thanks for calling, Felicia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. As we're talking about parenting, I guess you can relate to the fact it's never over, is it?
No, it isn't.
No. What are you facing?
Well, my kids are 27 and 29. My 27-year-old son, we just found out probably about 8 weeks or so ago that their marriage of a very short 18 months is over.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you see it coming?
No, we didn't. And in fact, my son says he didn't see it coming. Uh-huh. So we're just...
Well, why is it over? What happened?
Well, his wife refuses to go through any counseling. And when I found out, it was kind of unusual circumstances. I just sent a brief little text to her to tell her that I loved her and hadn't heard from her for a little bit, and got a very cold response and was sick to my stomach just like instantly. So I shot off a message to my son and asked if everything was okay, and he said no. And over the next, you know, few minutes and few days, we just tried to piece together that somehow things were falling apart.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to call her, but I did reach out and sent her a text and just practically begged that she let my husband and I meet with her and my son to just love on them and counsel them and see what we could do to help. And her very short response was, no, I'm done.
That's too bad. I know that I hear in your heart the real question as we're talking about this parenting never being over today is, what do you do? You got a broken heart. And Felicia, I'd say a couple of things. This is a loss. It's a broken dream. You know, when we raise our kids, we love our kids, we want the best for them, and some families have experienced the children grow up and they make just terrible decisions about career choices, or they make bad decisions about relationships, or maybe bad decision in terms of a substance and they get caught up in alcohol or drugs, and others will walk away from their faith. This is a universal issue. The parenting's never over. And we always come back to the expectations minus reality equals disappointment. And we have certain expectations, and when they're not met, we're disappointed, we're hurt, we're feeling lost like you are today. And I think for you, Felicia, as you think about this, what you need to do is grieve the loss. You're sad, you're hurt, and I'm sure you're upset. You've tried to reach out, been cut off. You've got to respect that and back off. You've got to respect your son. I think the best thing that you can do is continue to pray for both of them. And I mean an earnest prayer that God would do his work in their lives, whatever that takes. Secondly, that you would leave your heart and doors open to your daughter-in-law and to your son to be available. I think it's easy to jump in and take sides. Let's be careful with that. I mean, you're hurting for your son. I can't tell how many people I've seen over years where they jump in and want to take the side of their child, when maybe their child's part of the, you know, needs to be challenged too, to say, hey, what is it that you can do? How can we pray for you to encourage you that maybe there's some things in your life that you can grow through this? Not accusatory or pointing a finger, but with loving care. And so I think for you and for your husband, you need to stand in unity. You need to pray. And understand, as you know, Felicia, that adult sons and daughters make their choices, and sometimes their choices we don't understand, or maybe accept, or can fully embrace. But I'll tell you what, we love them anyway, and we just continue to love them. And I think that's true of every family.
Right. I was the Lord really helped me after about six weeks of just a profound sadness and grieving. I typed a 5-page letter telling her that I loved her, and there wasn't a thing in the world she could do to make me stop loving her, and just tried to offer some scripture and counsel, and did, and indeed, my husband and I are both absolute realists. We understand that it could, you know, very absolutely be something that, you know, was unacceptable on our son's part or whatever. But God is so good and so faithful.
That's right.
And it was hard to know how to pray. It was I didn't know how to pray.
Yeah.
And when a friend and a mentor reminded me that if nothing else, we can certainly pray vertical for that vertical reconciliation.
Absolutely.
With Christ, because something's not right.
That's right. Thank you, Felicia. Appreciate your call. We're going to go to Esther here in a moment. She has 3 kids going through divorce right now, and I'm going to tell you how they're handling it. How are you intentional when your kids go through divorce? Do you give advice? Do you give financial support? How about the kids? Do you jump in? Do you, lay into your own kids when you think they're off base, or do you back off? What do you do? How do you handle it? How are you intentional? 888-888-1717.
Hello, my name is Bonnie. I'm calling from Arizona, and I grew up in a family that was divorced, and I was the youngest in the family, so I have a lot of pain from that, as well as my brother did too. And when I found out that he was getting a divorce, I immediately thought about his child that he had, and my reaction was everything and every emotion that I ever had from growing up with parents that were divorced. I reflected that onto my brother, and I lashed out at him. Had I stopped for even a moment and prayed about it and let the Holy Spirit calm me down so that I could actually reach out to my brother, things would have looked a lot different. You know, I didn't once stop and think, gosh, these are probably things he's thought about too. And you know what? He doesn't need to hear it from me. He needs love from me and prayer, and he needs Christ. And I hope that anyone that hears the story can be more intentional with the way they react to hearing news like that, and be careful not to reflect your own emotions, but instead reflect Christ's love onto them.
Yeah, that's hard to add much to, isn't it? 888-888-1717. Thank you for that. Let's go to Esther. Esther, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
You have three children going through divorce?
Well, it's done. You know, they have been divorced. But when it first happened, it happened to my oldest, which is my son. And took me by surprise. I kind of noticed something. I just, as adults, you know, you let them live their lives. I mean, you know, I always pray for them as a devout Catholic. You know, I do that. But, and then later I just noticed things from my former daughter-in-law that were kind of short and things between them too, and I started to add things up and
so you kind of saw it developing and coming along. What have you learned, Esther? Three kids. I'm sorry about that. I know it's painful for you. Did you have grandchildren involved too?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
So what have you learned? What's the one thing you've learned you pass along to others?
Well, like I said, I've always been a big prayer person, because I went through a divorce myself, and I exhausted every means to save my marriage, because as a Catholic, again, I took my sacrament very seriously of matrimony, so therefore, you know, it was hard, but because I had three kids, I really wanted to keep my marriage going, but it was all one-sided, so after exhausting everything in my heart that I knew to save my marriage, well, then, you know, it took a long time. It wasn't like overnight. I mean,
did your kids ever blame you for that? Did they ever come along and
no,
talk about that
no.
in terms of their own adulthood or their relationship and their marriage?
No. The only thing one of them, the oldest daughter, which was the one to get a divorce last, you know, she always kind of threw that in my face. Well, you know, we went through this and that. And I said, well, stop living my life in my past. You need to live your life.
So she did. You had one that did bring it up then, kind of threw it up in your face.
But she always blamed her dad.
Yeah.
Well, and he's passed on. But I also told her, but the biggest thing I go is forgiveness. I don't care who was at fault. And to this day, it's kind of hard for me to talk about it. But what I've shared with them is, yes, nobody's perfect. And as a mom, you know, with grandchildren, yes, I get frustrated because they're adults. They've made their choices, but they seem to always forget the children. What about them? Do they have any say to this? I mean, you know, and so I passed on to them to say, you really need to forgive people. Mm-hmm. You really need to not hold animosity towards your spouses, because it's only going to affect you in the long run, and you still have children that you have to tend to, you know, whether it's 1 week here, 1 week there, you know. the hardest thing for me, though, has been that my son's a former wife, which, you know, I gave her a lot of credit because, you know, being a wife of a policeman, you know, they go through a lot. And she was, in my eyes, she was always very supportive, and he showed that. And but long story short, I feel that in all three divorces, the issue was infidelity, and even in my own, you know. So
Let me jump in for a minute. There's obviously three divorces. We got an hour show just to hear all that, you know, people can go through. Let me just mention a couple things. Esther, first of all, I'm sorry for you and your family and everything you go through. I'm sure the pain is very real. It has to be. I mean, when I look at myself and our family and our kids, I can only imagine the kind of pain that a family would go through when they go through this kind of thing. And I think some of the principles, prayer is obviously important, giving your children to the Lord, not making excuses. I think a question I would have for many parents today is, what do you do when you see your kids making choices and you know the choices they're making, the decisions they're making, adult or not, you know it's leading to a path that's going to blow up in their face? At what point do you step in the process and say something? I've always counseled, listen, at least ask for permission to say something. If they don't give it to you, back off and be quiet. But if they do, if they allow you to do that, then to be able to share what you observe, because you love them and you want the best for them. And to the extent that we can support our kids in their marriages, as you support your kids and their marriage, and their marriages and their relationship with their grandkids, that's a powerful thing that we can do to be intentional. You know, I've told the story, but I'll say it again as a reminder of this young man, Ty, that I visited a number of years ago that was 26 years old, hit on a motorcycle, broke his neck at the C1 level, so he could only move his eyes and speak in a very soft, soft voice. And he was in the care center over here across town and listening to the radio station and asked for us to come over and visit, and I went over to visit him. All he could do is move his eyes and breathe into a little tube to type things on a screen and speak with a whisper. That's all he had. And the nurses were saying, we love to be in his room because he encourages us. And as we were about to leave the room, the nurses said, I think he wants to tell you something. They knew him well enough. And so I went over literally and got probably a foot from his mouth. And this is what this young 26-year-old man, who probably had every reason to feel hopeless, is what he said to me. Tell them about Jesus. Boy, what a memory that brings back of spending time with that young man. And it's one of those memories in life that last a lifetime, to humble you and remind you of God's intentional love and that we are so blessed. And that young man just whispering to say, tell them about Jesus, is a reminder of why this voice continues to communicate every day on intentional living. That the ultimate intentional decision you and I should make is to not only tell people about Jesus, but make sure that we've made that commitment, that decision, to make him the center of our life. If you haven't, today, this moment, you could do that as you turn to him in a simple prayer of saying, Lord Jesus, I'm lost and I need you. Come into my life. Be my Savior and my Lord. And you know, as you do that and you mean that, if we confess with our mouth, the scripture says, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we're saved. And I'd say, welcome to the family. Get involved in a local church. I hope the radio continues to bless your heart. And I want to thank those of you all around the country who support to make a message like that possible. If you're not a part of Intentional Living, please come and join us today. And that entire teaching, which is on Experience Hope, is our gift to those who will join us in monthly support. All you have to do is either call us right now during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 2, or go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. And together we can tell people about Jesus.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
All right, thank you, Kurt. You know, this topic today is so painful. I mean, divorce is painful. When there's a breach in a relationship for any number of reasons, it doesn't affect only the two people who divorce. And so often when I talk to people, they lose sight of the fact that a divorce affects not only the two of them, but children and generational impact on families and parents and grandparents. And I share that as a reminder that if you're in your marriage today and you're struggling in your marriage, our encouragement here at Intentional Living is to get all the help you possibly can to make that marriage work. If you see some things coming down the pike that don't look so good for your marriage, this is an opportunity for you to get with your spouse and say, listen, our kids, our family, us, our spirit, our relationship with Christ, you know, deserves more than just walking away. Let's work on this marriage together. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it does not. Sometimes people cooperate, maybe both, and sometimes one will not. I understand that. But listen, there is a price to be paid, as you know, for a divorce. And if you can get into counseling, find the right kind of help, do it. Do it for the benefit of your kids. Do it for the benefit of your family. Today, talking about divorce, the impact on kids, let's go to Jamie, who's on the line. Michigan, welcome, Jamie.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What have you learned about all this?
Well, my ex-husband left the family when I had twins that were 4 years old.
Mm.
And he and I together decided in our divorce decree to put in that we would put them in counseling immediately for 2 years, which we both agreed upon, and it was great art therapy for them. They will actually be 18 years old tomorrow.
Mm.
And what I have done intentionally, and he has too, I believe, is to keep any anger and resentment out of our relationship, that my kids do not see that. And we have grown up having holidays together, attending birthday parties together, where he married someone else. I have remarried as well, and have tried to show them that through divorce being such a difficult thing for all of us, and it still impacts us,
mm-hmm.
that I do not have any animosity towards their dad, and I don't want them to ever feel that or see that, and I have tried to not ever argue or fight with him in front of them. We both have, and I think it's been very good for them. Their dad has stayed very involved in their life, and we've been lucky that we've had a pretty good divorce. But I've tried to teach them. They've got four parents now that love them, and to just be intentional to not ever say anything negative about their dad to them and to let them feel some sort of normalcy in a not-so-normal situation.
What have your kids said to you guys over the years?
Well, I think they don't know any different. I know that they have said things to me about other families and their divorce relationship and how usually a lot of times the dad has just fallen, you know, out of the scene, is no longer in their lives, or the other parent is no longer in touch. And so we have always, you know, sat together at ball games and sat together at events for the children. And some people, including family members, have thought we were just crazy, but it has worked for us and our family, and they've never known any different because that's how they've grown up.
What are your kids' attitude, you think, toward marriage?
I'm not sure, because it's not, I'm not going to act like it's been easy. It's been a difficult path. I think that they will know to wait until it is the right person, and I know they will fight for their marriage and that they will hopefully marry the right person. They know that divorce has affected all of us. It still will, and it will forever. It has affected grandparents and all of our family members, and it continues to affect all of us. So I think that they will make a smart decision. I'm hoping when it comes to marriage that they will make sure this is a good, godly man that loves them and will support them no matter what, and that divorce won't be an option.
Mm. Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate your opening your heart, sharing your story, difficult as it is. And tell those girls happy birthday tomorrow, right? Twins, happy birthday to them.
My comment is I'm a giver for intentional living. One of the great things that I get out of it, not only the radio station and everything it does for me and for everyone else, but several times in the last couple of years when I really had issues, it's like God knows, and somebody from your organization calls me and asks me how I'm doing and thanks me and asks me if I need some prayer. And both times, it was just like God reached down and called me himself because I really needed prayer. And both people were absolutely wonderful and really caring and kind, and it really made me feel loved. God just works in so many great ways. That is one thing about your ministry that I think maybe people don't know or don't share enough of. That's those calls. I thank you for that, and I just wanted people to know that is another great reason to be an intentional giver. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you for your call. You know, the staff get a chance to do that throughout the day and throughout the year, just to connect and pray with you and thank you for your support. And maybe a while since they've been able to get to you, or maybe in the process couldn't get through on the phone. But we want you to know that we appreciate each of you who take the time to pray for us and support the ministry. Your faithfulness and your prayers and your support are huge for the ministry, and we thank you for it. And you hear me say that we have a community of people, friends around the country, who support the ministry every month, just giving as they can, typically $1 a day, $2 a day, whatever God lays on their heart. And it gives me a chance to create a masterclass teaching that we send out by video and audio every month. This month, we've been talking about experiencing hope. And every month coming up will be something to encourage you. And so if you're not a part of Intentional Living, can I encourage you to do that today? We'd appreciate it. Our ministry is here to help you and others around the country every day. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And I thank you for your support. A couple things. We're looking forward to a couple conferences coming up in November. I'm going to be in Albuquerque. I'll give you more information early in November for an Intentional Love marriage date night. So get your calendar out. I'll give you dates here in a couple days. Love to see you and your spouse. Come on out. We're going to have a great night. And then I'm going to be in the Detroit metro area coming up next spring and get a chance to welcome all of our new listeners. So we'll see you then. Got to run. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.